I grew up in a small town in western North Dakota, out in cowboy country near the Badlands, rolling hills. It was kind of an idyllic sort of place right by the river. My dad ran the grain elevator, and that's where I grew up. I, you know, was in sports, you know, was in football. But by the time I was a junior, I'd met a few people, and a friend of mine said, "I'm going to start a rock band. I hear you play the piano." I said, "Well, yeah, I do." So I quit the football team and pissed off my coach, and I joined a rock band.
He played the piano and the organ and wrote most of the music, and that's how he made his living. Bands would travel on like rock circuits and they would go from town to town. It was just kind of that musician lifestyle where it was just kind of hanging out and writing songs. For musicians, they were really doing well.
I made a lot of money and I had a good time.
Jim's rock and roll lifestyle cut a stark contrast with his quiet North Dakotan upbringing. But his life was about to change even more dramatically than that. The U.S. was at war, and like many young men of that time period, Jim's name was about to be called.
I forgot to go to a few classes.
At the time, you know, that was a really big deal, particularly being somebody who's involved in the arts and was living this life that was, you know, bigger than life and, oh, you know, we're touring and it's rock and roll. I imagine that it was pretty scary.
I was in Canada when they tracked me down. My agent walked into my hotel room, kicked the bed and said, "You son of a bitch, you've been drafted. You've got 4 days to get back to Dickinson, North Dakota, or else they're going to send the police for you. As a draft dodger." I said, "Well, I didn't know." So I immediately went back, got on the bus, went to Fort Lewis, Washington. Then shortly thereafter, I was in Vietnam.
You know, my dad walked point in the jungle for 3 months, maybe a little longer than that. And you know, walking point means if there's landmines, you go first. And then he came back and they were on a resting point.
We'd been in the bush for, you know, 3.5 months. We'd been in the jungle, you know, for that long. I mean, we wanted a vacation. But in the evenings, I'd go to the club and I'd play the piano. By several strokes of luck, with a long story, but I got into the 101st Airborne Rock Band. And then I entertained troops for the rest of my stay there.
I mean, they were doing, like, the songs that were popular at the time. I mean, I know that they did songs that made people feel like they were at home, and my dad was awesome at it. I think that that was also a big moment for him, just to then be having his skills that he developed in North Dakota as a musician. Now you're doing that for the troops. That's a huge honor.
Some people just feel at home on a stage. At ease when all the eyes in the room are on them. Jim had that gift, and in the years following the war, he put it to good use. Starting with the rock and roll stage and going all the way through the theater, Jim was always putting on a show.
In the meantime, I started doing voice work on the side to support my growing family. And I really didn't think much about it. It was just, oh, well, this is easy. I'd always been one of these people that could just read something very quickly and know how to do it, know how to say it. I don't know why. I realized I started doing more voice work, and about that time decided, well, you know, I need to maybe give this voice work a little bit more attention. So I turned down the contract at Missouri Repertory Theater for the season, and all of a sudden I was doing lots of voice work.